You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. And we're talking fantasy sports on the program today. Ricky Sanders will join us. We're going to talk a full slate of NBA basketball, DFS style. 14 games on the board this evening. In fact, only the Chicago Bulls and Washington Wizards are not in action this evening. So we talk NBA basketball from a DFS perspective with Ricky Sanders. We talk a little NBA basketball from a betting perspective with Mark Lawrence. We'll also talk some college basketball with Mark Lawrence from playbook.com. Yesterday we had Mark Gubiza on the program. We talked Los Angeles Angels baseball. Today we switch coasts. We talk Boston Red Sox baseball. All right, you know what? We're going to try to hit every team. We are going to hit every team, but there's going to be no method to the madness. All right, so it's not like we're doing this in order of divisions or anything like that. We're doing this in order of whoever the hell we can get on the show to talk about the teams that we're going to talk about on a daily basis. I think we got Modica lined up for tomorrow to talk some New York Met baseball. But today it's the Red Sox. Steve Psycho Lyons joins us. Big fan of Psycho. One of the best analysts in the game. One of the more entertaining gentlemen in baseball. Now he's with Nesson, studio analyst, Boston Red Sox. So we'll talk some Red Sox baseball on the program. We're running the gauntlet today. We got a ton of stuff to talk about. Of course, big news in Montreal yesterday. We're going to hit that in depth on Morenci Unfiltered this evening on the Fantasy Sports Network. But we will open up the show by talking about the Montreal Canadiens. As earlier in the week, I told you, oh, here we are, guys. We're kind of in the twilight zone right now. It's the dog days of winter. Nothing's really going on. Just the Westminster Kennel Dog Show. And then, bam, Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather. It's not going to happen, but the news broke. Bam, Serge Ibaka traded from the Orlando Magic to the Toronto Raptors. You know, the news just keeps on coming. George St. Pierre is returning to mixed martial arts and to the UFC. And the Montreal Canadiens pull the plug on Michel Therrien and hire Claude Julien. Really? Claude Julien back in Montreal. And you know what? If it wasn't so damn cold outside, I would think, is it April already? Is this April Fool's? Like, are you playing me? Are you punking me? Are you telling me that Michel Therrien got fired and Claude Julien got hired? Now, to put this in perspective, people, since 2003, Claude Julien and Michel Therrien have been hired or fired four freaking times now by the Montreal Canadian organization, who box themselves in and only hire francophone French-speaking coaches. And as traditional as every couple of years of people in Quebec wanting to separate from Canada is them throwing a head coach under the bus, all right? And the difference is right now, it doesn't matter. Scottie Bowman could be the coach of the Montreal Canadiens right now, and they're not winning the Stanley Cup, all right? The National Hockey League, as much as any other league out there, but even more so, people talk about the NBA and you need a big three, you need three superstars to win in the NBA, maybe four, five, etc. Fact of the matter is, there's no league in sports that you need superstars more so to win a Stanley Cup than the National Hockey League. Go down the list of Stanley Cup champions of recent years. How many, like, teams won? How many average teams won? I think, like, the Carolina Hurricanes, a hell of a long time ago, won the Cup without any real stars. You know, with the Reckies and the Cam Wards and the Brindamores of the world. The fact is, you know, coaches don't really have all that much of an impact on a hockey team. Mike Babcock's an elite coach, all right? The guy wins gold medals with Canada when he has great players. He won Stanley Cups with the Detroit Red Wings when he had great players. When he didn't have great players with the Red Wings, he wasn't such a great coach. Toronto Maple Leafs gave him a boatload of money. The Leafs were freaking terrible. Mike Babcock's a great coach. The Leafs suck because the players suck. Now he's got Austin Matthews and he's got Mitch Marner. Suddenly the Leafs don't suck and... Oh, look, Babcock's a better coach suddenly once again right now. People in Montreal right now are celebrating this. And yes, it is true, in my opinion, that Claude Julien is a better coach than Michel Therrien is. But Claude Julien is not a type of coach that's going to come in and turn a bunch of average players into a Stanley Cup champion. Claude Julien is the type of guy that can lead a bunch of great players like the Boston Bruins had to a Stanley Cup victory. And even that was in 7 games, and it took the Vancouver Canucks choking for the Bruins to actually win that Stanley Cup. But the point is, the Bruins were freaking loaded, all right? You could have Scotty Bowman coaching the Montreal Canadiens right now, and it won't matter. They're not good enough. The fact of the matter is, it's not the coaches, and Michel Therrien wasn't perfect. It's the general manager, right? It's Bergevin. It's the actual players that are on the ice. And Scotty Bowman couldn't save this if he was behind the bench, but I tell you what, if Scotty Bowman was running the Montreal Canadiens for the past 20 years, they wouldn't just be an also-ran franchise like they've become. It doesn't matter, people. Michel Therrien, Claude Julien, the Montreal Canadiens aren't winning the Stanley Cup this year or anytime soon. They have as good much of a chance as winning the Stanley Cup as I do as being their next head coach after they fire Claude Julien, which they will. Watch. The Montreal Canadiens are going to go on like a 5-game win streak right now. Claude Julien is going to be heralded as the greatest coach of Montreal since Dick Irvin freaking Senior, all right? And then ultimately, the Montreal Canadiens will go on like a 5-game losing streak, and they'll want to fire his ass. That's just the way that it is in Montreal, and nothing's going to freaking change. Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live. So, you know we're live because when I stumble and screw up, you can tell we're live. Although, even if we taped it, I really wouldn't restart. Like, it has to be real extreme for me to restart something, taping stuff. All right. Steve Psycho Lyon is going to join us on the program in a couple of moments' time. He played in the big leagues 9 years. He's more known for an analyst than being a crazy dude, outspoken type of analyst. But he now does Red Sox. Games. He's a studio analyst with Nesson. We'll talk some Red Sox baseball with Steve Lyons. We've got Mark Lawrence. We got Ricky Sanders. Ricky, one of the best DFS guys out there. We'll talk NBA. We got 14 games on the board. Although I got to tell you, NBA is so freaking frustrating, man, because you never know who's going to play, who's not going to play. They don't let you know until like 20 minutes before the game. Mark Lawrence joins us, and he understands the daily grind of betting the NBA. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing pretty good, Gabe, other than the debacle by the Toronto Raptors. Everything's good.
Yeah, I tell you what, though, with the Raptors. You know, they lose 10 of 14 games. Kyle Lowry bitches after they blew a 16-point lead on Sunday night. They're off for a couple of days. They got a Chicago Bulls team that's been on the road, that's falling apart. Everybody's injured. The Raptors get good news earlier in the day. Hey, we got you Serge Ibaka. You know, we got you the best available player on the trade market. As a little boost here. And what do? They go lay an egg and come out flat again against the Bulls. It's unbelievable.
It is. Here's a team that was, you know, a leading contender to challenge the Cleveland Cavaliers. And right now, the way they're performing, they're going to be happy to make the playoffs. I mean, Ibaka's going to have to be that shot in the arm that they need. And so many times we see teams that make big trade moves and they just go in the tank that particular day. Toronto lived up to the billing last night and just hope that they can make a U-turn and become the team that they were to start the season.
You know, I know that happens often, but I thought it would be a little bit of shot in the arm. And another one, Mark, how do you feel about this one, too? It's really good in baseball, but it seems to work in every sport, except football's different. But hockey, baseball, basketball is the team on the first game back after a road trip. They always lose that game. Mark, with the Lakers last night. Lakers had a successful road trip. ATS-wise, they were playing well. You know, last night, they're flat at home, first game back. We see this. Baseball is a great one. Baseball teams go on the 2-week road trip. They come home. People think they're back home. They always lose that first game back home. And the Bulls were in that spot last night too.
You know, ironically, you mentioned that. I had my car serviced the other day, and the service manager played minor league baseball, 11 years, AAA, and I was asking him what to look for in two things in handicapping, and he said, number one, journeyman pitchers, when they're called up from the minors, fade them. He says they'll get lit up. The young phenoms will do well from AA on a call-up. Fade the journeyman pitchers. Number two, when teams come home off these road trips, fade them as well. He said, we're just happy to be home. We're not focused on this baseball game. Well, that was his message to me, and it also works in all other sports, and it should have worked last night in the Toronto-Chicago game.
Yeah, you see, nice to hear it from an athlete himself about that. It's true. All right, so let's talk. Another thing that's tricky with the NBA, and it frustrates me, and it frustrates the league as well. I think it's affecting the competition a little bit and the quality of play, are the ridiculous back-to-back games all the time. And, you know, I'm an old-school guy, and I used to tough it up and suck it up. And, you know, when LeBron was complaining about the schedule a couple of years ago, I was like, shut up, LeBron. You're making a lot of money. Play back-to-back. But this year, it's ridiculous. Like, you got teams playing, you know, they play too much in too condensed of time. And coaches take teams out. It's very difficult to cap this, but I generally like picking on teams playing in back-to-back spots, Mark.
I'm exactly with you in the same way here. Just this season has been a little bit upside down, topsy turvy, if you will. I'm looking for things to get better at the second half after the All Star break here, at least post All Star break, and look for that lift back up to the billing here. But these back to back games, the odds maker caught onto this 10 years ago, began pegging the lines in those basketball games ridiculously, and took the value away from those plays. So now it depends largely on who the team is and what the need is. First place teams, Cleveland Cavaliers, San Antonio Spurs, they'll tend to rest players in situations like that. But these other teams, they know no better. All they know is to go out there and try and play some basketball.
All right, so let's talk about a team that played last night in the Minnesota Timberwolves. And they're in a tough spot right now. They're in a tough spot playing last night and then going in and playing into the altitude. You've talked about this, Mark. We're talking a lot about situations and spots. But, you know, especially pick on a team when they're playing in their second night of a back-to-back, and they're either playing in Utah or they're playing in Denver, two of the highest altitudes in the National Basketball Association. And, if you get that Utah and Denver, Mark, it's not often, but I've seen it happen before. Teams playing Utah and then Denver, you know, they're in big trouble. Yeah, it's amazing. The Nuggets, I don't even know where their starting lineup's going to be tonight. I don't even think they know right now. They basically just look at the bench and are like, all right, you, you guys are in tonight. And then they go out and put 128 points up on the board, Mark.
This is a basketball team in Denver, Gabe. I think you have to watch here. This is a team that's going to sneak their way into the playoffs, and they're going to be a team nobody's going to want to play. They get up and down the court as good as anybody in the league. They've got some bona fide stars in this basketball team. They're the team that nobody knows. Like you said, the no-name guys, the Denver Nuggets, and they're in an ideal spot here tonight, catching Minnesota off a game with the Cleveland Cavaliers, no less. There's always a post-letdown for teams that take on the defending national champion the next game.
Yeah, you know what? And as well, you look at the Warriors. The Denver blasted the Warriors the other night. They were getting 11.5 points. You know, they won the game outright by 22 because, they were so beat up. But Jokic is just awesome. You know, like you said, he's probably the best player in the NBA nobody talks about. This kid's just amazing right now. And Denver's on a nice little run, man. 14-6 against the spread, the last 20 in the series against the T-Wolves. 129-39-4 straight up all time at home with same season revenge. And your playbook, Mark, the awesome angle. Play against any sub-400 team on back-to-backs if they played the NBA champs the night before and the total was 200 or more. Well, bingo, Minnesota are in this spot, and it's a 13-2 trend.
Yeah, it's a nice angle, a combination of everything, Gabe. Altitude, angles, trends, and they throw revenge into the mix. Minnesota took Denver out earlier in their last meeting here. I think it's a nice spot for the Denver Nuggets here tonight.
Earlier this morning when I was doing my notes for the game here, Mark, the Kings and the Warriors, there was no point spread. It was off the board. And, you know, I'm aware, you know, the Warriors are going to be in a bad mood tonight, all right? The Kings beat them Super Bowl weekend, and they got blasted by 22 the other night. So there's sort of a, there's like a double sort of peaked interest for Golden State coming into tonight's game. But with that being stated, it's 18.5 points. Sacramento's playing with house money. They've won four games in a row. You mentioned Denver. Sacramento are a fun team right now too, Mark, and they're starting to believe. Jaeger does a great job with these guys. They've won four games in a row. I don't know, man. They might get blasted by 40 tonight, but I got to take the 18.5 points, man. And I know the Kings played last night, but it's just too many points.
Yeah, sometimes a number makes a game, Gabe, because this game, as we looked at it a week ago when we did our Playbook Basketball newsletter, it was all a setup for Golden State with the revenge, and then you catch Sacramento off the upset win last night. Golden State comes in having been tripped up their previous game. It's everything you want in a setup of a basketball game, except the number. The number's a puke, and sometimes the puke outweighs the setup here. So, you know, given the fact that Golden State should be the side, I'm with you. I would take the points or not play the game.
I think it goes over too, and it's a nice little cushion because if Golden State waxes them, it probably gets over the 225. The thing is, listen, it's a perfect storm for Golden State. They've been off for a day. They got embarrassed by 22 the other night. They lost the last time they played against Sacramento, but winning by 19 points, Mark, like, that's a clean freaking ride. Like, if Sacramento shows up tonight, we get the cover. Like, they, you know, that's a lot of points, man.
It's too many points, Gabe. And in fact, while we're speaking here, I ran up in my database, Golden State with same season revenge this year, just 5-4 to the spread, 6-3 straight up. But as favorites, as double-digit favorites, 1-3 to the spread. So this is not a role that they can handle. They'll put the good teams away, but they'll also play down to the level of the opposition here. Gun to the head, big ugly dog, Sacramento Kings.
You know, we'll move on from this. We'll talk college. But I'm thinking back to, like, Warrior numbers. And the Warrior numbers have been a little bit lower this year than they have been last year. And I remember last year, Mark, all right, the Warriors would be like -18.5 against the visiting Philadelphia 76ers or something like that, who are a terrible team. That's what the number is right now. Like, you know, your database, like, how often have you even seen an 18.5, Mark? It's like, it's really rare. And Sacramento aren't like cellar dwellers. They got ballers. Collison can light it up. Barnes is a pain in the ass. Cousins, one of the best players in the league. Like, they've got guys that can play on that team.
Well, the last time Golden State laid 18.5, they did against Dallas. They beat them by 9 points in that basketball game. They kind of, like I say, tend to play down to the level of opposition. This is not a number that they're comfortable laying, these big, thick double digits. I'm going back and looking at Golden State here. You go back and look at them. Since December 15th, they played in 12 basketball games. They've only covered 3 laying double digits.
Mark, you know, I'm looking at the College Board on a daily basis, and I'm doing better, actually, because I used to love like 8-12 games a night, and I'd kill myself betting on too many games. I'm having a tougher time. I look at the College Board over the last couple of days, and I'm like, man, what a tricky card, and this number's bang on. And, you know, we're almost at the time of the year right now where the odds makers have really figured everything out. We're in conference play and stuff like that, so I'm sort of going, getting more selective with the games that I've been taking, and it's been successful for me. But I will say, I'm pretty much blindly riding the playbook tonight, Mark, and I'm giving these as plays of the day, so I'm going to take heat for them, Mark. So I hope you're right. But with all kidding aside, you know, Wichita State and the Salukis, Southern Illinois. I know the Salukis; they struggled last year. They weren't playing very well earlier in the year. But here's a case where we got Wichita State are 23-4 straight up, but they're only 12-11 against the spread. The Salukis are only 14-13 straight up, but they're 11-12 against the spread. This is where we get into, yeah, I'm not talking about who the better team is, but I'm talking about a point spread, and 13.5 points, a lot of points to beat somebody by on the road, man.
Especially with Southern Illinois, a good home team off of a home loss. Very seldom do they lose back-to-back consecutive home games. Throw in 42-point loss revenge in this basketball game, Gabe. And just in the blind, for the listeners, compliments of my database, anytime you have a team playing with 40-point same-season loss revenge in college basketball, take it to the bank. We're going to hold our nose, get the big clothespin out, and play the Salukis plus the points here tonight.
Yeah, because I was looking at this. I'm like, yeah, all right, I can understand if it was 8.5 or 9.5 or 7.5, but wow, 13.5. And it's like, oh, they blew them out by 42. And you know that's what people look at. Oh, Salukis can't hang with these guys. But, you know, courts and gyms, man, have a huge impact on college basketball. I'm taking the Salukis plus the 13.5. All right, here's another one. North Carolina State, I tell you, they've been terrible, Mark, since that big win against Duke, right? They've been unable to capitalize on it. I'm a little bit worried here. You and I talked, I think it was last week, they were playing against Florida State. They were getting all those points. They got murdered, all right? They got absolutely massacred in that game. But here we are again. They're on their home court, and we're getting double digits in an interstate rivalry game. And it's a bigger game for NC State, even like, you know, like you wrote in the playbook about throwing the records out. You know, North Carolina, they got another game with Duke. What do they got? Virginia coming up. What is it? Louisville as well. Like North Carolina, it's kind of, yeah, it's cute. They play at NC State. But NC State hate North Carolina getting 10.5 tonight.
Throwing 51 point loss revenge in this basketball game, Gabe, 51 points. You can rest assured a rival will be coming with everything they've got in a payback mode like this is tonight. I mentioned about 40 point loss teams. These 40 point loss teams, when they dress up as double digit home underdogs, try 30-12 to the spread all the way back to 1990. Two real good roles for two of these teams, ugly dogs, the Salukis, Southern Illinois, NC State, both winning teams taking doubles at home. I think you have a much better chance of winning both these games than you do losing both of them.
And you know what? I forgot to add, actually. We had a problem with my computer just shut down out of the blue when I was submitting my picks to the guys in the booth, but I forgot. I want to add the over of that North Carolina game, actually, because let's go over some of these numbers. North Carolina State, they're giving up, Mark, 82 or more in 7 straight games. I think there's going to be a track meet tonight that they can hang around in. But you mentioned some of the stats here. Godfrey, too, 24-10 and one against the spread with same season revenge. Godfrey 10-1 against the spread as a home dog if his team is 5-6-5 or less. And the Tar Heels 1-6 against the spread when laying points as a favorite after playing against the Duke. We'll it's the nose plug close pin pick. We'll take NC State and hope for the best. Finally, in closing, you got a free pick over at covers, Mark. Iowa State and Kansas State. Kansas State, it's up to 4 now they're laying. 4.5. You still like them?
I do like them. I like them at home for the situation. I think you couldn't set up a better basketball play. When I say set up, I like my ideal plays. I want to have my team off a loss. I want to have the other team off a win. I want to have revenge. I want to have the other guy coming off a revenge win. We've got it all in this basketball game, and it's very seldom you'll find Kansas State with two bad back-to-back basketball games. I think this is the right side of this contest. Not crazy about the number. I would really have this game closer to pick, but still, we'll lay the home court in this game.
I got to tell you, Mark, we got to get out of here, but I looked at it this morning. I was a little groggy when I looked at the numbers, and I was like, oh my God, Iowa State's plus 3.5, laying 3.5 on the road. I love K-State. And then I get your email. No, Gabe, K-State's laying points. I'm like, yeah, of course they are. I'm like,
but you hadn't had your morning coffee yet, Gabe. I understand.
Yeah, completely. And speaking of which, join Mark Lawrence's coffee club over at playbook.com. Get in on the morning newsletter and the morning conversation about the hot games of the day. It's Mark Lawrence's coffee club over at playbook.com. Check out the newsletter. It's a wealth of information. Always a pleasure, Mark.
My pleasure. Enjoy the games. Be well.
And like I said, check out Mark Lawrence's coffee club. You can do it online as well over at the Google store for your mobile device. Steve Psycho Lyons joins us next. Game Time Decisions. We are live on the Fantasy Sports Network. I am Gabriel Morenci. Ricky Sanders will join us in a couple of moments. We'll talk some DFS for tonight's NBA slate. Yesterday, we had Mark Gubas on the program. We began talking Major League Baseball. I know a lot of the fantasy guys have already jumped in. We're doing more, you know, overall season win previews because next to Pete Rose, nobody bets more baseball than I do. And you know what? You guys know how damn impatient I am, but it hasn't worked for me, all right? So So I'm going to show some patience, and I'm actually going to take some season win totals this year instead of saying, well, I don't want to wait. No, I'm going to wait, all right? I'm going to wait. But I always love talking baseball with a man that they call Psycho. And, briefly, a Montreal expo. And I actually want to ask this, Steve, about that. But Steve Lyons, now a Nesson studio analyst, Boston Red Sox baseball. Steve Psycho Lyons. Steve, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you been?
I've been great. You haven't been so good. You get the worst guests ever. You're talking about Gubaza. He doesn't know anything. Pete Rose might be the worst ever on TV. And now you follow that up with me? Crazy. You gotta upgrade, bro.
Probably that's why I haven't gotten a raise, right? My career's been stagnant for the last 10 years. And I've had the same guest on forever, Steve. You know what I mean? But, I swear to God, I lived in Vegas. And, a couple of years ago, I lived there for about 3 years. I'm there. And, I'm a betting man. So I walk in. You can't make this up. I walk into Mandalay Bay. It's a summer day. Nobody's in the book, all right? The only people who are in sports books in the summertime, Steve, are like homeless guys or people watching soap operas like on the little TVs and stuff like that. There's one guy, he's wearing a fedora, and I'm like, dear God, is that really Pete Rose sitting alone in a sports book in Vegas on like a Tuesday afternoon watching a baseball game? And it actually was. So God bless his heart, man. He loves baseball.
Yeah, he does. I was joking too. Gooby's a good friend of mine. I saw Pete Rose a few times out in Vegas, and he still appears out there every week, signs autographs, so he's around all the time.
I tell you what, Goob is such a nice guy, knowledgeable guy, and not one of these old school guys. Like, he sort of embraces new numbers and stuff like that, but I'm a big Goob is fan. Great guy.
Yeah, I like him a lot, too. He obviously worked right down the road from me here for about 10 years. And, I get a chance to listen to him every once in a while. I'm not a big new numbers guy, but, I think there's a place for it. I just think that we are in a period of time where the geeks are taking over the game of baseball, and I don't like it too much.
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit, because, we're on a Fantasy Sports Network here, and, I say that baseball and baseball stats, they're almost like politics and laws. As we get older, there's more of them, and, there's all these codes and this and that, and is it getting carried away right now, do you think, with teams and looking at numbers too much as opposed to actual ball players?
Yeah, I think it's grossly overrun. And, as I prefaced my statement before, I think there's a place for it. I mean, they are coming up with ways to equate the talent of players that we weren't able to do in times past. Like, even when I played, I used to think that I was a pretty damn good center fielder. But because of my size, 6'3", 220, and that kind of stuff, I mean, I grew up a center fielder. I got great jumps. I had a great arm. I did what I was supposed to do. I positioned myself well, but there was no real way for anyone to equate how good I was out there. And now the fact that I couldn't hit, so I didn't get to play all the time. So you didn't get to see me on a daily basis and know that I was probably better defensively than the center fielder that was playing every day. Now there are ways to do that. They're getting better at it. And so things like that excite me a little bit. Show me what kind of range the guy has. Show me what kind of jump he's getting, because it used to be just up for a scout to sit in the stands and watch the guy play for a little while. But I still like that aspect of the way the game should be played, too. There's so many numbers, all these different acronyms for different things that to me just don't mean anything. I can watch a kid play for 2 weeks, and I can tell you if he can play the game of baseball or not.
Yeah. As opposed, it's like the movie with Eastwood, right? The guy's blind, and he can figure it out still. he was blind, and he can figure it out still. All right, there's so much stuff. I always love breaking it down with you, but you didn't play long in Montreal. Was it long enough? Where'd you live in Montreal? Because I'm a Montrealer. We're not there anymore, but I just thought about that. I told a story about Pete Rose and how I always used to see him in the metro, and I asked him, I said, Pete, you take the metro to the game? And he goes, yeah, I can't get lost this way because it's just underground. He goes, I get out and I go right into the stadium. What about you, man? You're in a stadium, you're a big league player, you're in a city you don't know, you're like, and you're there for a short period of time. Did you live in a hotel? How do you find a stadium, man?
Well, yeah, I did. I did find a place. I rented an apartment because I thought I was going to be there longer than I was. I ended up being in Montreal for about 3 months. I absolutely hated my time playing for the Expos and loved the city. I did live, I believe, in what they call the West End. Is that an area?
Westmount?
Yeah, so I lived out in, what's that?
Was it Westmount? Or just the West End,
You know, back then, when it was, we're talking, 92?
It was more the English area you were in. You're in the English area,
more,
so to speak.
Yeah, English-speaking area is where it was. And, but, you know, I mean, I had a miserable time. I didn't play there at all. I think I got 13 at-bats in 3 months. I mean, for a guy who hit left-handed, could run, could play every position on the field, to not get on the field at all on a National League team. I'm
who was the manager? Was it Felipe?
Felipe
Alou at the time, huh? What's your take on Felipe? He's a wise man, but it can be condescending at times, couldn't it, Ben?
Yeah, I mean, there was tremendous talent in that organization, and you know, he got so much credit for the ability of the players there. But you know, I found a guy who couldn't communicate with the English speaking players. He couldn't speak English very well. He seemed a little bit kind of disheveled to me, and you know, and obviously it gets personal when you're the guy who doesn't get to play. But you know, it made no sense to me that I was on the team. And I literally went 28 straight days without playing. And that's, in today's game, that's just impossible.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
There's no way they would do that to anybody on the club.
Yeah, that is ridiculous. All right, so let's talk some Red Sox baseball right now. And everybody, listen, has the Cubs penciled in to repeat, at least the odds makers do. But the Boston Red Sox are overwhelming favorites to win the American League. I'm looking for weaknesses with this ball club, and I really don't see any. Steve, what's your take on this team? Is this a World Series champion team or bust type of team? It seems like it is. They're all in right now. I mean, they bring in Chris Sale. They're trading prospects. You know, Dombrowski seems to be, hey, let's do this now type of deal.
Yeah, you know, I think that Dave is always that kind of guy, you know, and I don't disagree with him, you know, and I hate to make it about myself all the time, but shoot, I was the AAA player of the year in 1984, and I was a terrible major leaguer. So I always would take proven talent over prospects anytime, and I think that's what Dombrowski's philosophy is, too. He goes, hey, I'll trade a guy who might look like he's going to be a good player and probably will be someday, but I want to win right now. I think I have a good nucleus of a team that can win right now. If I keep adding major league talent to it, and I think that's what they've done. And even before Dombrowski got there, I mean, the Red Sox organization, you have to tip your cap to them if you're a Red Sox fan, because every offseason they go out and actively try to get better.
Yeah.
And you can't say that about every other organization out there. And so if you're a Red Sox fan, I mean, you literally have nothing to complain about in the offseason. Last year they went out and got Price. This year they went out and get Sale and Thornburg, and, you know, they added pieces to this team that can help them win. You know, my biggest worry always is, can the guys that had good years the year before, can they turn around and repeat? Because it's so hard to do. And, you know, guys like Bogarts and Betts did that last year. They had great breakout seasons 2 years ago, and then last year went out and had a better year again, which is really hard to do. And so you're going to have to look for that to happen with a guy like Porcello, who wins a Cy Young, but had his best season ever and threw the most innings ever. So is he going to be able to bounce back and duplicate that? Price, you know, didn't look great, but still won 17 games.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we complained about him every time he went out there, and every time the game was over, he ended up with the win. So he did give up a lot of runs, a lot of home runs, and the team scored a lot for him. But, you know, the one-year adjustment period to Boston, I think, will do him well for this second season. But, yeah, you know, Cleveland's going to be a great team, obviously, in the American League. And as you talked about, when you get right down to who's going to win it all, you know, the Cubs will be right back there again.
Yeah, so I want to talk to you. Look at the outfield, and generally when people think of the Boston Red Sox in past years, you think of a veteran type of team. You think of an older type of team. But you look at the outfield of the Boston Red Sox, I like the mix in between veteran guys and young guys. And a guy I want to ask you about is Benintendi, and what do you expect from him playing in an everyday role?
You know, I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm not throwing all-star at him like almost everyone else is. I mean, I watched him play last year.
I hear he's the next Ted Williams, Steve. He's going to hit 400.
Yeah. Now, the rumor is that he put on 20 pounds, and if that's true, I love it because he was this skinny little kid, decent pop for a guy that was as small as he was. But, you know, everyone's already saying that he's the best thing since sliced bread. I like him. I love his swing. I mean, he's got a fantastic, compact, beautiful left-handed swing. You know, I mean, that's going to take him places. But I didn't like how small he was, and now he's bigger. From what I understand, I'll see him in about a week in spring training. You know, I don't think he's a great left fielder. He came up as a center fielder. I think he was an above-average center fielder. I think he still needs work in left defensively. And I'm not sold yet. You know, we can all see guys come to the big leagues and show us flashes of greatness and then be mediocre for the rest of their lives. I hope he is what a lot of people are projecting him to be. But I'm cautiously on that bandwagon. I like what I've seen so far, but I'm always one of those guys that says, you got to prove it to me for a little while longer.
Steve, we got to get out of here, but quickly, I just want to say, you brought up, at least the Red Sox are aggressive. You know, we're broadcasting out of Toronto right now. I'm not a Blue Jays fan, but they're like the richest organization in sports. They have like 17 million cable subscribers and cell phones. They have like $24 billion in assets. It's ridiculous. And they don't want to really spend the money on the team all that much. And, you know, so that's why I understand. I do respect what the Red Sox are doing. But quickly on the way out here, who contends with them? Is it the Blue Jays? Is it the Orioles? Yankees? I don't know about the Yankees pitching, but who's a dangerous team to compete with the Sox in the East?
Yeah, you know, I think the Jays are always going to be there. The Orioles never seem to have the pitching that'll hold up. You know, they score a lot of runs at home. Blue Jays score a lot of runs at home. The ball flies out of there. They still have guys that can hit the ball out of the ballpark, even though they lose a guy like Encarnacion, which is huge. You know, that was for them, you would have thought they would have had to go back and re-sign him. You know, the thing about Joey Bats is they're starting to say that he's really starting to slow down. It's hard for him to catch up with a fastball these days. But they continue to compete with you year in and year out. And they are not afraid to, at least at the deadline, make a deal to make their team better if they think they can be in the playoffs. They did that with Price 2 years ago. So if they're close, they will make a deal to help them out.
Steve Lyons, Nesson television analyst. Steve, Psycho Lyons. It's always a pleasure, Steve. Always love breaking bread with you. Thanks a lot for joining us, man.
Right, anytime.
There's Steve Psycho Lyons with us. Always fun. Talk baseball forever with him. Ricky Sanders, we talk NBA basketball, DFS next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Hey, it might be the dog days of winter, man. We're having some great times here, great shows, and it'll continue tonight. Morency Unfiltered at midnight. We talk about the Montreal Canadiens head coaching carousel, and we talk some Major League Baseball futures with Chris Meaney. Simon Talikas from Montreal, flagship station of the Habs, will join us as well. But let's bring in Ricky Sanders. This man knows DFS. We got 14 games on the hardwood tonight. Everybody's in action except for the Wizards and the Bulls this evening. And actually, man, I prefer when there's less games. I just get a headache, man. And I know I'm leaving so much talent on the floor, but that's why we bring in Ricky to scoop it up and let us know what we're missing. Ricky Sanders, Fantasy Draft, steps up and in. What's up, Ricky?
What's going on? I agree with you. I like those 5-game slates where you can analyze everyone's rotation to the absolute max, but this, it gets a little nutty with 14 games.
It's nutty, and what makes it nuttier, last game for some teams before the All-Star break, for most teams, actually. So, yeah, guys are hurt. Why bring them back right now? Some teams are hot. Some teams are not. It's, you know, as a betting man, Ricky, as well, you know, it's always tricky. The last games before the All-Star break and the first games out of the All-Star break are always a little tricky, you know?
Yeah, I agree, which is, you know, why I think we'll get to it. But my favorite game of the night is with a reliable coach, Tom Thibodeau, because we don't know what a bunch of these guys are going to do. But if we know what anyone's going to do, it's him.
All right, so how about Tom Thibodeau? He goes to Minnesota. He's Mr. Defense. Yeah, it's anything but defense with these guys. It's anything but defense. And in fact, I know you've got this game circled. And this game, you have two teams playing with players who are putting up consistent fantasy numbers – for pretty decent prices. Andrew Wiggins has been on fire. He's been very consistent and doing more than just scoring. There's some rebounds. There's some assists now in there. Rubio's usage is up since LaVine is out. Towns is too expensive for my blood. And then you get the Denver Nuggets, where it's pretty much chef's choice, man. Pick a guy and he'll give you 40 or 50 fantasy points.
Yeah, that's what I love about this game is you've got Tom Thibodeau, who's going to run his starters into the absolute ground. I mean, you look at Karl-Anthony Towns, 36 and a half minutes a game on 0 days rest, so we're not worried there. Andrew Wiggins, we know he's going to play up around 40. Rubio, and then you get this Nuggets team that we just found out basically everyone who's been out is out again. So there's going to be some fantastic value here. If you look at, you know, Juancho Hernan Gomez, I think that's where I'm starting again with the Nuggets. But I love, even in cash games, I mean, I don't think Karl-Anthony Towns is too expensive for me because he's topped 51 fantasy points in each of his last three meetings against the Nuggets. I don't think that's an accident. You look at both these defenses. Timberwolves, 111.3 points per game allowed last 10 games. Nuggets, 115.1. So I think there's going to be a ton of scoring. I think Towns is going to be just fine. I think Jokic is hitting new levels, and everyone's kind of figuring out the unique talent that he is. So I think, you know, for tournaments, this game should absolutely be stacked. But I think the minute safety of Towns, Wiggins, Rubio is viable for cash. I think Jokic is viable for cash. And I think Hernan Gomez, who even with Plumlee active, is going to have to play a ton of, you know, small forward and power forward again. This game just has a ton of value for me. Even the guys who are priced up, I see value in using them because of their safety and their upside. I mean, Wiggins, 41 real points last night.
Exactly. And you know what? With 14 games, I'm not a huge fan of the fact that I actually have two Nuggets on my team tonight, but because of the value, I have to. Because of the injuries, I have to. And let's talk a little bit about Jameer Nelson. You know, Jameer Nelson, I look at Jameer Nelson and Deron Williams as sort of the same. Sort of guys have been around forever, except Williams sucks and Nelson doesn't right now. I don't know. It's just the style of play. Moutier is a little bit erratic. He's just, the offense is running very smooth and fluid with Nelson out there. I mean, they beat the Golden State by 22. It's a fair price to me. He's hit 11 of his last 18 three-point shots. You know, there's going to be no defense tonight. And, you know, everyone's talking about Aaron Gordon tonight. So Aaron Gordon. Ibaka's gone. Aaron Gordon's going to be starting. I get it. I don't love the inconsistency from Gordon. I don't love the matchup, man, against the Twin Towers of Aldridge and Kawhi out there. I prefer Juancho here, Hernan Gomez at $4,600. Listen, the guy's pretty much a fantasy point per minute, Ricky.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to cop out a little bit here, and I'm going to say I like both Hernan Gomez and Gordon, and I'll tell you why I like Gordon, and I actually think the matchup is better than you're selling it. I believe in the funnel theory on offense, which is if some players have a difficult matchup, then the offense is going to have to go elsewhere. Well, Kawhi Leonard is going to guard whoever's starting at small forward, presumably Jeff Green. I respect the defense of Dwayne Dedman at center, so I think Vucevic is going to have a tough matchup, excuse me. So I think a lot more of the offense is going to run through Gordon now, who's more comfortable at the power forward position. He averaged over 12 points, over 10 rebounds, and just about a block per game in his 30-plus minute games last year because he was playing the position he's supposed to be playing. And he blew up against the Spurs twice. So I think Gordon is a fine play, but I can't argue with you against Hernan Gomez. I mean, with Wilson Chandler ruled out, I think you got to project him at, what, 25 to 30 minutes minimum?
Yeah.
This is a guy who had a nice game last game. I think this is going to be a fast-paced game. We mentioned how bad these defenses have been, so I think both are viable.
You know who I actually like on Orlando, and even with Ibaka gone now, because Ibaka took some threes, he took some shots, is Fournier. Fournier flies under the radar. He's a good player. He's a solid guy. And, you know, he's reasonably priced. I'm not in love with him tonight, but I'm just generally moving forward. Keep your eye on Fournier. So we've got about 2 minutes left here. So we got the Warriors and the Kings tonight. And, you know, we got a high total here, and we have a perfect storm in the sense that the Warriors are going to be in a bad mood. They lost by 22 on Monday night. They lost Super Bowl weekend to the Sacramento Kings, actually. So you got a revenge spot, and they're coming off a poor performance on Monday night. But with that being stated, It's always tough now, man, with the addition of KD, who's going to get the shots? But, and I swear, Ricky, I was telling people, I do great with the value picks in DFS. My stars always kill me for some reason. I'm taking a shot with Steph Curry tonight. 62 fantasy points last time they played, 14 three-point shots. Call it a hunch, which is a killer, you know, stupid thing to say in the fantasy world, but I think Curry lights him up tonight. I can see him draining the threes. I'm going to play Curry. That's the guy I'm playing on the Warriors tonight.
Yeah, I can't argue with you there. I mean, Sacramento's allowed the second most three-point field goals, and I think your analysis there is pretty correct, that this team's going to be in a bad mood, that they lost last night, they lost this team last time, and I think that, you know, the fact that Kerr sat his starters down the stretch the last time is kind of an anomaly for him, right? Even when they're blowing teams out, you usually see one of or multiple Klay Thompson, Durant, Curry, or Draymond Green in. So I think now that they sat the last time, even if they're blowing this team out, I would expect to see the starters all play 30-plus minutes. That's kind of a common theme for Steve Kerr. And if Curry's going nuts, I mean, he's going to be one of the ones they leave in, and I don't see a reason why he shouldn't go nuts. Derek Collison's been playing basically 40-plus minutes a game. He's second worst on the team in defensive rating. Bad in blocks plus-minus as well. So I think Curry could absolutely light him up. I like Klay Thompson, too.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of yours, Ricky. I like how you look at all angles, man. Check Ricky out. You can follow him on Twitter as well. Fantasy Draft, Ricky Sanders, DFS. Ricky, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks for joining me.
Yes, thanks for having me.
All right, there's Ricky Sanders. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with our lineup and our plays of the day. It's time for our DK lineup of the day. Let's start off with the red-hot Denver Nuggets, coming off a 22 blowout win over the Golden State Warriors. One of the reasons why, Jameer Nelson running the offense and is running real smoothly. Moutier's a good player, but he's raw. Nelson's polished, been around a while, knows just to, you know, to give up the ball. He's hit 11 of his last 18 three-point shots. Nelson's been on a run, man. He's put up 117 DK points in the last three Nuggets games. Monte Ellis, back to the well with Ellis. I don't like giving you the same players all the time, but as long as they're going to keep pricing them in this range, and as long as he's going to keep on giving us 23, 24, 25 DK points, we're going to take it. We're going to take a guy that's going to give us eight times the value and slot him in. That's what we're doing tonight with Monte. All right, the Greek Freak taking on the Nets. We all know everybody picks on the Nets to begin with. We got the Greek Freak. It's a monster. I expect a monster-type performance. Like, I'm hoping for 60, 70 DK points tonight. My value picks are good, but if you notice, anytime I spend big money on a player, he screws me and he sucks. So I'm a little bit worried, but I think he's a pretty safe pick as far as getting a big, big value. Kelly O, we're going to go with $4,300. This kid's playing well, actually. Very consistent. Gives you five times, six times, seven times your value. Last four games, 26, 40, 24, 22. In a nice spot tonight against the Philadelphia 76ers and only $4,300. We're spending money on Steph Curry. Steph Curry went off for 62 DraftKings points when they lost last week, or Super Bowl weekend it was, to the Golden State Warriors. He was like 8 of 14 from three-point land. Sacramento give up a lot of three-point shots. They don't defend the perimeter. Golden State are going to be in a bad mood. They lost to the Kings last time they played. They're coming off a blowout loss on Monday night to the Nuggets. I think Curry goes off tonight. I like him at $9,800. Hernan Gomez, Wancho, not Willie, $4,600. Maybe you could put Aaron Gordon in there. Everyone loves Aaron Gordon today. I don't like messing with the Spurs. And finally, in closing, Yogi Ferrell. Hey, you could put Aaron Gordon there, too, for the same price. But I think Ferrell should be good for $25.30 tonight and give us value. Let's get to our plays of the day. Hey, the Brooklyn Nets suck, and it's good to take fantasy players against them. But they've been covering point spreads. We're going to take the Nets plus six against the Bucks. Miami Heat, two-game losing streak right now since their 13-game win streak. Nevertheless, too many points. Give me the 10 points tonight with the Heat. T-Wolves and Nuggets. This game's going going to go over the number. Sacramento Kings, they're in a tough spot tonight, but the spread's way too high. Give me the 18.5. Let's go over the number in Sacramento and Golden State, and a couple of college basketball picks for you. We're going to go NC State plus the points. NC State and the Tar Heels over the number. Southern Illinois plus 13.5. And finally, in closing, an NHL pick, the Philadelphia Flyers. Wayne Simmons, red hot. Flyers get it done. May the winners be yours.